Where do I put this fire? This bright red feeling, this tiger lily down my mouth. He wants to grow to 20 feet tall. I've left Bethlehem and I feel free. I've left the girl I was supposed to be.
Athena, the Greek goddess of wisdom. She's also the goddess of art and industry, in other words, of the useful arts. She taught the people of Cyrene the art of taming horses. She showed Erichthonius how to harness the first war chariots. She was present while Jason's companions were building the ship Argo. Her skill was revealed in the humblest handicrafts. She invented the potter's wheel and made the first vases. But above all, she excelled in women's work. The art of weaving cloth and embellishing it with wonderful embroidery has no secret from her. The immortals rely on her skill, and it was she who embroidered Hera's veil. Wisdom, war, art, industry, justice, skill, these are Athena's areas. On October 17, 2008, some 300 women gathered for the Athena Women's Leadership Conference at the University of Idaho. Our show today comes from that event. From KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, this is Yin Radio, and our theme today is Athena in 2008. We have three installments from presentations made at that conference. Keynote speaker Nancy Hunter Denny kicks things off with Zing for Our Lives. In a workshop on entrepreneurship, author Rhonda Abrams tells us how important it is to have a vision and how to find that vision. And then professor of music Pamela Bathurst teaches us how to use our voices fully, to express ourselves fully. We're going to start today with some music from the New York-based group Ms. Filter, features vocalist and songwriter Hadley Poole. Installment number one. Zing! Nancy Hunter Denny kicked off the Athena Women's Leadership Conference with a keynote talk all about Zing.
So I congratulate you for coming to a program called Zing. Just to add that little kick that, I don't know, you might need sometimes. When you're feeling invisible, I'm going to teach you how to validate yourself. I'm going to try to share with you just some strategies on how you take this thing called life and give it a little bit more meaning, if you will. How to kind of get that thing you need, that it, if you will, when you're looking for it and it's just not there. I mean, I have gone all around the country, shown up, been behind a podium, only to see people.
Check out.
And I'm thinking, I'm talking to myself. And then I say to myself, girl, you need a little zing right now. You need this thing that's going to give you that energy. Or said another way, friends, that hope that you matter. And it's my hope that you leave here knowing that one person can, in fact, change the world. It's my hope, students, that you leave here knowing higher education is designed to give you what you want, and that is permission. It's my hope, faculty, staff, administrators, that you leave here knowing that you may not know when, often you may not know how, but just that you do make a difference. Influence is in the eye of the beholder more than we care to admit. Sometimes the most powerful things we say comes in our silence. Sometimes the best things we can do for people, especially the ones who push us farthest away, is keep following them. Sometimes, friends, we don't even know what it is. We don't know. But we have to accept the fact that ignorance is an indication, when we accept it, of our wisdom.
Nancy Hunter Denny is a nationally recognized keynote speaker, an author, leadership trainer, and educator. Her high-energy stage presence was contagious. She moved on to the heart of her subject, the value of our lives.
From the courage of Rosa Parks to the character of Eleanor Roosevelt, from the compassion of Mother Teresa to the competency of Elizabeth Dole, from young girls who will grow up to run to be president someday, and to the men who will be their vice presidents. From my words to your meaning, friends, the ability to override competing forces to positively influence others towards a greater social good will determine the quality of your life, your leadership, and your legacy. Life. I travel all around the country speaking about it, and often I learn the most from the students who come up to me and say, Mrs. Denny, can I tell you a little something about life? And I'll look right at them and say, what do you have to share? And some will talk about their own lives. Some will talk about their parents' lives. Some will talk about the life they want. But one student came up to me from Randolph-Macon and said, Mrs. Denny, life, did you know there were only two difficult days in your life? And I looked into the student's eyes, and I didn't say a word. And she said, the day you're born and the day you figure out why. And I thought, that's one insightful student. And all the way home, I started thinking about why. Do any of you get up in the morning and say to yourself, why? This question of why we find ourselves in certain places is a very important question. Why did you show up tonight? Why are you going to come back tomorrow? Why are you pursuing the degrees or the vocations or the careers you're pursuing? Why? And then I like to just kind of say, you know what? Let's not get caught up in the why. Let's get caught up in the reality. In other words, I believe that why is essentially a question of purpose. Who's yours? What are you on the planet, generally speaking, to do? What is the role that you are going to assume, the difference you're going to make in this world? And how are we all going to be changed because of you? the why, the purpose. And so I'm going to give you the answer right now. Friends, repeat after me. My purpose,
is my present.
Not meaning necessarily the gift you give, but meaning your place in time, which is right now, your present. I really believe that if you can leave here believing wherever you go, there you are. How profound. If you can leave here really knowing that you're influencing others by your very act of being, whether it's something you say or something you do, then my job has been done. You see, if you can be in the moment, you're doing more than many other people can be right now. If you can turn off the technology, get rid of the distraction, be able to focus on the people around you, instead of asking what's in it for me or what do I need right now, the question becomes, how can I help? How's my vision? Am I seeing the big picture? If you can be where you are while you were there. But often we're doing 12 things at once, are we not? Aren't we also, when we hear our phone go off or we're in class, thinking about all the other things? We've lost the ability, friends, to be present because we are so diluted in where our energies are going, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. We're all over the place instead of just being able to focus on one thing, or said another way, one person at a time. Have you ever been in a crowd and felt completely alone? Have you ever said hello to someone and then felt completely invisible? So you've experienced what it's like when other people aren't paying attention, when they aren't really there, but everywhere else. So let's just be where we are. You see, this time is never going to happen like this again. I get to interact with you tonight and then tomorrow, and then odds are our paths may never cross again. So I have to make a conscious decision, much like you do, to decide what I'm bringing to the table. When? Right now! We get one shot at it. Gandhi once said, live as though you were going to die tomorrow, but learn as if you were going to live forever. Think about what it is you want and how you get that. And the answer is simple. Just be present.
Zing! Nancy moved from the value of life to the value of time.
Yet it is the reality that we ignore. The seconds becoming the minutes, and the minutes the hour. If you really want to know the value of a year, ask a law student who just flunked their end of the year exams. They know. If you want to know the value of a month, go to the neonatal unit in your local hospital and ask a mother who just delivered a baby about 30 days too soon. If you want to know the value of a week, head down to Virginia. Talk to a coal miner's family and ask those kids, hey, how long does a week feel like before your daddy comes home? If you want to know the value of a day, think about two young lovers and how long it seems before they can be in each other's arms again after leaving for work in the morning. A day. If you want to know the value of an hour, ask someone as claustrophobic as I am what it feels like to be stuck in an elevator for that amount of time. Freak out. If you want to know the value of a minute, talk to a high school student who saw his entire life flash before his very eyes as he spun out of control, did a 360, came underneath the guardrail, back up into the other lane, did another 360, and missed the guardrail by that much. And if you want to know the value, of 1/100th of a second, swimmers, you know where I'm going with this. Wasn't that just wrong? 1/100th of a second? I mean, you love to love Michael Phelps, don't you? But if I was the guy who lost by 1/100th of a second, I'd be pissed. 1/100th of a second. Think of that Olympic athlete who trained all his life for that moment and lost it by that amount. Time. We need to start valuing it now. We need to be a little bit more present, turn the technology off, and start trusting our gut that we are here for a reason, even though we may not know clearly what that reason is right now. Time. Now, if you don't value time, you clearly waste it. Think of all the ways we waste time. I think there are three. Number one way, we hang out with people we don't even like. Some of us marry them. But we have people in our lives we call friends. Truth be told, we don't like them. Truth be told, we will agree to do things with them and then regret the fact that we said yes. It is easier for us to just go with them than to say, I don't really like you. Repeat after me, I quit you. One more time, I quit you. You see, there are toxic relationships that many of you are probably in that we need to quit. And we need to, in our minds, say, I quit you. I'm done with this. Because if we are really talking about life and leadership and value, life is too short to hang around with people who drain the living energy out of you. Unless, of course, you gave birth to them and then they're yours. Can't give those kids back. But essentially, we have so much control over who we associate with and who we call friends and who we invite into our life than we really believe we have. I'm an advocate of having one or two people that worship the ground you walk on, that build your self-esteem, that bring you the cup of coffee, or just show up without you having to ask, than have that group of six or eight that all they want is something from you all the time. You will be known through your associations from this moment on. And if you really want to know where you're going to be in 5 years, and I tell this to professionals all the time, take inventory of who you're hanging around with now, because that's a pretty good indication. If you really want to move up the chain, then start hanging around people who have moved up the chain. If you really want to become a better student, stop hanging around C students and go to the library on Friday and Saturday nights, because this is where you find the A students, and start hanging around them. Now, granted, you can't just sit there and by osmosis think you're going to get smarter. However, you'll start to see what it is they're doing. You'll start to engage in different kinds of conversations. Never doubt that who influences your life on a daily basis, in many ways, isn't your choice. And if you want to raise the bar, take inventory of who is coming into your head on a regular basis. And maybe you just need to say in here, I quit you. And leave yourself open to making those relationships that are going to matter. How many of you have friendships that you're disappointed in on a regular basis? We need to let go of those. Associations matter. The second way we waste a lot of time, frankly, is by settling for average, settling for beige, just kind of saying, well, it's all right, or my favorite, whatever. Are you at your best? Or have we just started to settle? And then the third way we waste time, I believe, is by being bored and not really recognizing that boredom is a choice. Boredom is not a state of mind. Boredom is the state of not using your mind. Whenever you find yourself thinking, oh my gosh, I am so bored, ask yourself, well, are you boring? And the answer is yes. Some of us in this room don't have time to be bored, do we? Who would like 10 minutes to walk into a room and say, oh my gosh, I think I'm bored. Somebody write this down. Okay. Usually it's the people who come to sessions like this, frankly. Okay, we'd like 10 minutes to just say, I really think I'm, say it isn't so, bored. Somebody quick, call 911. I'm bored. See, this thing called Zing is based on the concept that the energy you put out there is the energy you get to draw from. So I always believe that Zing begins with this thing called the Interested Student of Life position. And I'm going to teach you that right now. And I'm going to suggest that it applies to your relationships. I'm going to suggest it applies to your ability to get fit. I'm going to suggest it applies to the attractiveness other people see in you and their desire to either be around you or far away from you. So it goes like this, my friends. Please place both feet firmly on the ground in front of you and sit up nice and straight in your chairs. Sit up even a little higher. And your feet are firmly on the ground in front of you. All right. Now, lean forward about an inch. Okay. Now, this is kind of hard sometimes. Smile at me. What you've just done is put the energy out there that they can draw from. But this thing called Zing requires some attention. So two goals for our time together. Number one, I want to inspire you to honor those you are blessed to serve, whether that ends up being a professor or a student, a colleague or administrative assistant, a child, a parent, a sibling. Honor those you are blessed to serve. You see, the problems we have in this world are fixable if we had a little bit more zing. Our vision would be a little bit more 2020 if we had a little bit more zing. If we were able to use our talents and our aptitudes to show our gratitudes, I really think the world might just be a better place. But it all starts with being present. It starts with the recognition that the energy you put out there is the energy you get to draw from, and that is your choice. The second goal I have for us tonight is that you leave here more disturbed than when you walked in. For some of us, that usually isn't too hard. But by that I mean be open to the concept of change. Be willing to say, I admit, I'm not perfect yet. Be willing to change. I believe firmly in the concept, friends, that at any given moment we can make a decision. We can make a decision to do something differently. We can change our attitude, we can change our behavior, we can say yes, we can say no. In any given moment, being on the top of the food chain, we can in fact become better people. We can, in fact, stop lying. We can, in fact, start accepting some of the realities in our life. We can, in fact, make decisions to get in better shape. We can, in fact, make decisions to move on and move up, to be kinder, to get better on any given moment. And I believe firmly in that. You see, there are three kinds of people in this world. The ones who have it and don't know what to do with it. The ones who want it and have no idea where to find it. And then those that come out on a Thursday evening at 5 o'clock because not only do you have it and you seek it, but you want to use it. And what you have is this thing called Zing. Repeat after me, Zing!
That was Nancy Hunter Denny. Her company is called Zing Leadership Development Systems. She's the author of two books. She's a national speaker, an educator, and a leadership trainer. Nancy specializes in nonprofit that she helps organizations like women's groups and higher education. She has spoken on more than 800 college campuses. It's Yin Radio, and our theme is Athena in 2008. Portions of three presentations from the Athena Women's Leadership Conference this past October. Installment number two, From Zing to Sound. Pamela Bathurst gave a mini voice lesson. teaching what she teaches her music and acting students, to find their full sound and to express themselves fully.
This is basically about the way we communicate and how we sound when we communicate. How do we get to be where we are? How do we get our voices the way they are? Why do we sound like this? We sound like this for many reasons. We sound like the way we sound because we grow up with families who sound like that. You know, the Godfather families, and they all got that kind of voice, you know, as they talk, that kind of Godfather-y kind of voice. I had neighbors who talked like that. The whole family talked like that. The women talked like that, too. Had this kind of sound to their voices. and the idea of people around us, you know, if we're surrounded by a group of people and they have certain accents or certain inflections, Valley Girl inflections or accents from different parts of the country, we tend to pick that up too. And we don't even know it. It's like our habits with gestures and facial expressions. Those around us, it just absorbs inside of us. Along with that is the way we hold ourselves. We hold ourselves the way our parents hold themselves or the people around us hold themselves. So that affects the way we sound. But there is hope for everybody, no matter where you come from or no matter what kind of background you've had, no matter what kind of stress. Stress is terrible for the throat. What is the first thing you feel when you're really stressed? You feel a tightness in the throat, right? If you feel like you're going to cry, you feel a lump in the throat. That's why we get shrill when we get angry. You know, our voices go up and up and up and up and up as we start talking to people. And we just, it's just like somebody's grabbing us right here, right around the throat. We can change that. We can open that. It has to do a lot with relaxation, has to do a lot with posture, has to do a lot with just who we think we are concept-wise, and we'll talk about that a little bit, because that's probably one of the biggest deals that I deal with my students for when they're taking voice, is what they feel they sound, who they feel they sound like. And if they sound like this, if they've always sounded like this, their parents sound like this, then who are they to change, right? So there's kind of this big leap that we have to jump over in order to be able to change ourselves. What I would like for you to do is I would like for you to think about your own voices, and I would like you, just as you are thinking about your own voice, to turn to the person next to you, shake hands, tell them, hello, my name is, and just kind of listen to your own voice. So listen to the other person's voice, listen to your own voice.
Hi, my name's Sandy Billings.
Hi, Sandy. I'm Roxanne Schreiber.
Hello, I'm
Jessica. It's hard to do that and not be self-conscious after thinking about voice.
Now you have to get as quiet.
As you did that, did you feel self-conscious at all? Not at all. Just felt just like you could just say it. Were you aware of what was coming out of you? Could you hear the sound of your own voice amidst everybody else's sounds in here? Yeah? Yeah. Is there anybody who thinks their voice is just exactly where it wants to be? Now everybody feels like there's room for improvement.
Yes.
I think there's always room for improvement. I think about it all the time. I think that I have my students put little sticky notes all over the place so that they think about it all the time. It's the idea of taking what we've got and moving on. So let's take what we've got and move on. First thing is that we have to decide what kind of presence we want to portray for the people in front of us. And in doing so, in choosing our best presence, we also choose the best setup for a voice to come out of us. So our best presence is lining up so that you've got basically ear over shoulder, over hip, over knee, and over ankle. So those of you who don't have like back problems or something, if you can kind of get into that position. And what I have my students do is I have them raise their hands up. Now, as you're up there, your rib cage is up. If you let your rib cage down, can you do that? Just kind of bend your elbows. Yeah, feel that down. Now up. Feel the difference? Now, as you lower your arms, the ribcage stays up. And it may feel very weird, especially at first. And then you let your shoulders be loose, but the ribcage stays up. You find within that, you find a comfort. It cannot be stiff. It cannot be tight. Otherwise, it tightens everything through here. Everything is involved in the throat. So the idea of up. It doesn't look weird. If you turn around and look at everybody, nobody looks weird. Everybody looks like they're confident, like they have good posture and they're confident. So the next thing is the breath. We have the ability to breathe so that, in fact, I think that most of us have never taken a good breath. And a good breath is not a big breath. It's not a breath, you know, overfilled kind of breath. It's a breath that feels like, it's like it's an unfolding from inside. So if you think about your lungs, which are about from here to here, and they're three-dimensional, not just front, and if you think about them unfolding three-dimensionally and slowly, right from the middle of it, can we do that? And not over and then out. And then do that again, and not so much that you feel tight. It's like a release, and that's what you want. So we're upright, and we have this wonderful breath that expands. And as we do that, we make weird sounds. And some of the weird sounds are, it's like this earthy sound. So like we're drawing it from the very center of the earth, and we're opening up all the way, and it doesn't get stuck here and pool, but the energy moves all the way out to whomever you're speaking to. So if you have, comes from here and there's no roadblock. It just flows all the way. Can we do that? Yes, we can. So we're upright. We have this wonderful sound. It doesn't have to be really loud. Breathe. And. Ooh. Yeah, now, let's see the difference between our woo sound and our not ooh sound, all right? So this one I want you to do, ooh, this is shallow. This is ooh, kind of from collarbone up, okay? So no, none of this, it's here. So kind of a breath, and ooh, yeah, now hold your head up, okay? Now do it again. Ooh, you feel it through here? Isn't that nasty? It's the idea. How many of you feel like when you're talking to somebody, some of you are taller, but me, you know, I've got big heels on, but me, I went through life like this. Almost everybody was taller, and I talked to everybody like this. And so no wonder, you know, if I was having to talk a lot at the end of the day, I could feel it through here, an uncomfortable feeling through here. So watch that you're lined up the way you were made to be lined up, and you have this clear channel all the way. Can we do that one more time? And this time all the way from the bottom. And there's just this open ooh sound. Have you heard an owl? And it's kind of this hollow, woody sound when they make that sound. It's almost, it's uncanny, really. Let's think of that. Ready? And ooh. Yeah. Okay. This is another together one, since you're all good participants. Let's say, I like life.
I like life.
Very good. Okay. The next line is, life likes me.
Life likes me.
This is from Scrooge. This is from the musical. I like life, life likes me.
I like life, life likes me.
Oh, you're very good. Okay, what we want is we want to find what kind of sounds we can make, all right, with that. So we're going to do extremes, okay? We're going to have a pulled kind of shallow sound first. Everybody know who Christian Chenoweth is? Mm-hmm. Popular, it's gonna be popular, that kind of thing. That's, he talks like this. It's a choice for her, because I've heard her sing, and there's other stuff in there, but she chooses, she's in musical theater, and she chooses to speak that way for her stage presence. That's what she uses. Then you hear people like Lauren Bacall, who has a very low voice. It's gotten lower, she's gotten older. It's a resonant voice, but it's very low. What we want to do is we want to find what is our best pitch. Where should we be speaking that's going to not put strain and drain on our throats? Okay? You think, well, how do I do that? I talk up here or I talk down there. I tend to go lower and lower and lower, and especially if I'm on the phone, then I start getting really low as I start talking and I start feeling, and then I pull it back up again, pitch-wise. The way you can find, an easy way that you can find what basic area you're supposed to be speaking in is by saying mm-hmm. So if you're there and you're going to agree with me, I'm going to say, you know, the sky is purple today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it again. The sky is green today. Mm-hmm. all right, do you feel where your mm-hmms are? Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, your mm-hmms give you a basic idea. Mm-hmm. It's like your mid-range pitch. Fun? It's like your mid-range pitch. We speak way higher, we speak way lower, but basically we should be in the mm-hmm range in order to be healthy. This is what people who work with speech, problems with people have them do. It's one of the things they have them do is the mm-hmm. So if you're speaking higher than that, if you talk up here and your mm-hmm is there, or if you talk down here and your mm-hmm is there, then you need to think about that if you're having any vocal problems, or if you want to find your best sound. So now we know where our mm-hmms are, right? Mm-hmm. So now let's do the I like life again. Huh? So I like life, life likes me. We're going to do one by one. Ready? Breathe.
I like life. Life likes me.
Good. Yeah? Is that different than what you're used to? Or is that basically where it is? You have to think about it. Is that higher? Much higher? Is that really weird feeling? Some of my students go, no, that's not me. And yeah, it is them. But they're, you know, they've got family at home that's going to say, what is wrong with you? You know, they come home and they start speaking higher or lower. Okay, so we've got our mm-hmm, we've got our basic pitch range. Now we're going to find what color can we use in our voices? When we say, that's not me, when we say, I talk like this, that is not me, what we're really saying is, I prefer to use this 30% and leave that 70% alone, because the 70%, when you put it together with the 30%, that's you. And that's the thing with when I'm teaching that I have to convince them of. Thank goodness there are older students there who have been through all of this and are very influential on the newer ones coming in. But basically, as a group of us, we don't use all of what we've got. When I'm speaking here, I speak with a little bit more resonance than I would speak one-on-one. I don't have to be loud. I can still speak with lots of resonance and make it very soft. But I can also get so loud that people can hear me and I don't need a microphone in the auditorium. It just depends, and there's not any strain in that. It's just opening up. And what you want to do is you want to find all the colors that you've got in your speech, in the sound of your voice, and not leave any of them. It's like you come and you have primary colors, and this is what you carry around with you for your life. But there are all these other colors, these shades and rainbows of colors that you never explore. And your own speaking voice, not to mention the world benefiting from listening to beautiful sounds coming out of you whenever you speak, is left behind. So how do we go about finding those colors in our own voice? We go about by doing weird things. I go about by doing weird things. Some of the weird things are, now we did the ooh, that was nice. Some of the weird things are doing vowels and putting them in sentences. So we have ooey. Can everybody kind of imagine what that sounds like in your mouth and come out with it? Ooey. One of those. Ready? And ooey. That was lovely. Let's do it again. Ooey. Okay. Remember that breath that we did when we unfold inside? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about that breath as you breathe, and I'd like the rest of your body to follow suit. So it's not just here in the lungs, but it's the whole body. And in truth, if you think about, I'm going to go on a tangent. If you're in a big city, we have body, we have space around us. It's our own space. But if you're in a big city, sometimes our own space is this. I don't know if you've been in subways in New York. There is no space. I mean, their skin is merging with your skin. Every single inch of your body almost is merged with somebody else in those when you're being packed in to those subway cars. Then we have Idaho, you know, it's open spaces. And the idea of our space is much bigger. We start to grow. And as we grow, we come from this kind of very, very pinched, very, very stringy kind of sound where everything is like this to opening up and flowering, so everything relaxes and everything opens, and all of a sudden we have color in our voice. And we can all do that. So what I would like you to do is stand up again. And I want hands firmly glued to your sides, feet glued to each other. Okay? Uncomfortable, right? We're in Idaho. As we take a breath, I would like you to take a breath within this body. You can think of unfolding. Unfolding's fine, but take a breath within this, only this space. And I would like you to do another ooey. So here we are here, and take a breath.
Ooey.
Yeah, let's do it again. Ready, and
ooey.
Good, okay. I would like you to separate your feet a bit, something comfortable, shoulder width apart. I would like you to feel when you take your breath that you expand all the way to your fingertips. And this is not just side to side, this is front and back. We're three-dimensional all the way, okay? So right out here, take a breath in. Another ooey.
Ooey, ooey.
Do you feel a difference with that? And you may have to go sideways. There's not a whole lot of room in there. Okay, yeah. So let's do that one more time, okay? Hands here. One breath in. Okay, now we're going to expand. As we expand, everything expands. Throat is relaxed and wide. Everything's wide, and we're breathing. Do you feel a difference between that? And the thing is that we tend to be afraid to take up our space. We're afraid of that. And even if I'm really close to somebody, my space can still be there and her space can still be there. It's not like we have to, you know, we have to indent or something. Okay, my arm's over here, but over here it's over here. We can still take up our own space. If we merge with other people, that's great, that's fine. in a certain sense. So the idea of space this way, yeah? Now, as you're speaking, and we've got this I like life thing going, right? I want you to speak this way one more time. But I'd like you to speak I like life and breathe this way. Ready? And.
I like life.
Okay. Now we know how to do this. Wonderful breath in. This relaxes and opens.
I like life.
Oh, what a difference. Wow. Can you hear that in this whole room? This helps. You could be a good choir. This is what we have. This is us. The other is a percentage of us. And we deserve all of this.
That was Pamela Bathurst, finding our full sound to express ourselves fully. Dr. Bathurst is a professor at the University of Idaho. Today's Yin Radio is from the 2008 Women's Leadership Conference on the University of Idaho campus last month. Installment number 3, and the last installment for today, is from entrepreneur Rhonda Abrams. She's built 3 small successful companies. She's a syndicated columnist and a best-selling author. Rhonda has spent more than 15 years as an advisor, mentor, and consultant to entrepreneurs and small business owners. This excerpt is from her Athena workshop, and it focuses on vision and how our vision of ourselves and of our projects shapes our success.
It's how much your own attitudes about yourself, your own vision, and of who you can be and of what women can be really shapes your own destiny. And it's going to sound, I know I have a little mic and could be walking around, but it's going to sound a little Oprah-like.
Well, we don't mind a little Oprah-like, but if we're going to envision our success, we have to talk about images. How can you talk about vision without images? Rhonda showed pictures of women in various poses and asked us to think about what we see in the women that are shown.
What's this woman? Is she a pet sitter? She could be. Is she a veterinarian, perhaps? Or is she a venture capitalist? She happens to be an extremely wealthy venture capitalist. And here, for you ladies, you know, here's a woman. Is she self-employed or head of a 250-person consulting firm? And how about these? High school principals or university presidents? They're all university presidents. And I'm showing you these pictures because you have to start having pictures in your mind of who you think you can be. And it does help shape our actions, our confidence levels, our persistence, and what we are willing to do to get to places in our lives. So how do you see yourself? What's inside you? That kitten or that mountain lion? But I think a lot of women think of themselves as pussycats, you know, as kittens. And we have to embrace our inner mountain lion. You know, you have to find that mountain lion that you have to be tough enough. And I'm not talking about mean. Mountain lions are not as aggressive as people think they are. And successful women aren't as aggressive as people think they are. In fact, one of the things that I think lots of women entrepreneurs, myself included, we want to bring to the workforce are a different value system. And women want to be able to have a transformative effect in that being able to build collegial environments, environments where people feel good about going to work, where they are valued as individuals. Guess what? Those are exactly the kinds of skill sets that are perfect for success in the 21st century business world. And women have those skill sets and can do that. So I'm not saying that to be Lee Iacocca or even Carly Fiorina, but there are women out there who are building collegial business environments who are being very successful. And I certainly try this in my own business. We have a very collegial work environment, and we have a pet-friendly office. I mean, Linda, I don't know if you've heard the dogs barking in the background sometimes when you call. And now we're at the office because I built my business around my values, which is to treat people well, pay them fairly, have them have a voice in the work that they're doing, have a sense that they can accomplish something, say thank you all the time to people, and also, you know, be able to walk to work and bring my dog. And that kind of flexibility, I was at an award ceremony in Boise earlier this year, and one of the awards for the best business was a woman-owned business in Boise. I don't know which one it is, but it's a big business, and they allow their employees to bring their child to work up until 5 months. So the mothers don't have to leave their kids in child care up till 5 months old. I've never heard that before. But it was a woman-owned business who was bringing their own values to it, and yet it was a multi. I think they may have had 50 employees. So you can bring some of that sensibility even without changing it. All right. So one of the things I want people to think about is what does it take to get to the next level in business or your career? And I've sort of thought that for women it takes 3 things: vision, confidence, and a plan. You have to be able to see yourself some way, then have the confidence to believe that you can make that happen, and then have an action plan.
Now, starting with a vision, Rhonda had us take a moment to actively envision ourselves in the position we want to be in.
The vision, as we said before, is you have to be able to see what you might be. So what I'd like to take, and this is going to sound really Oprah-like, I'd like to do is take 15 seconds to have you close your eyes, 30 seconds, and I want you to envision yourself in some level of success that you see for yourself, that you'd like for yourself, that perhaps you think is beyond you. Go ahead, close your eyes. Just envision yourself. Perhaps it's owning a business. Perhaps it's being president of this university. Perhaps it's being a public speaker. Perhaps it's having a craft that you're selling, and it's, you know, in Martha Stewart magazine, or you're on TV. Whatever that vision is, I want you to first have that vision. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Keep taking time to have a vision for yourself, because it's really important to be able to see yourself that way. And that, you know, that is the beginning for it.
I've often thought these last few days of what vision Barack Obama must have of himself to have the confidence to run for president while he's still early on in his term as a senator, while he's only 47 years old. Does he close his eyes and envision himself as a world leader on a regular basis? Our visions may be more modest, or they may not be modest at all, but the first step is to have a vision. But let's let Rhonda run the workshop.
Somewhere or another, I had a vision that I could be more than, you know, just a consultant in San Francisco, which is how I started. I started writing a little column in little local newspapers to try to get business. And through a friend, I met someone who worked at USA Today. And I had the confidence, and you'll see I have a lot of confidence, but not as much as you think. I mean, you know, there's still that pussycat somewhere in me. I'm allergic to cats, so that's probably not the best. Should have put a little puppy dog in it, you know. But so I met the man who was the editor, their business editor for the whole news service for Gannett and USA Today. And I met with him, and I said, are you going to do a small business column? You know, I'd like to do, I have written one. I had to have a vision that I could be this small business columnist for a newspaper like USA Today and for a news service like that. And he said to me, we're going to do one of these. We're going to do a small business column. I'm just not sure when. And so I said, because I could envision myself, and when he said, I'm just not sure when, I didn't say, okay, well, let me know if you do. I said, may I keep in touch with you until that time? It took me 4 years. Every 6 months, I called him for 4 years. And one day, he picked up the phone. He said, remember I told you someday we're going to do it? That day has arrived. He said, we need proposals from different people, and we're looking at them. But I can tell you, all you have to do is put something on paper, and you've got the job. So I wrote the proposal knowing I had it, because I had that confidence that came first from having a vision. And certainly, as an entrepreneur, and Linda can really back this up, the first step in sitting down and thinking about a business that you want to start is having a vision of it. Before you have a plan for it, before you do a feasibility study, before you do any of those other kinds of things, you have to have a vision of what it can be. Now, a vision is more than a dream. I mean, I take the new book, I sort of go from a dream to a vision to a concept to a plan. Because you do have to go through those different steps, but it does start with a vision. I mean, a dream is a little bit more, you know, dream is this fantasy. You know, I might dream, you know, it might have something to do with George Clooney. that isn't a vision, that's more of a dream, you know, and there are dreams like that. But moving on from those, having a vision of who I want to be, that is something that I actively try to cultivate as I move on to new projects or new stages in my own entrepreneurial career. So that's the first thing.
Vision first. When you're ready for the next step, confidence, you'll need to give Rhonda's entire presentation a listen. Pretty soon you're going to be able to find it posted at the University of Idaho Women's Center website, which is students.uidaho.edu/womencenter. keep posted there and check it out. And listen for more from Athena 2008 on Yin Radio this winter. Now we're wrapping up this Yin Radio program from the 2008 Athena Leadership Conference, and we're going to end the show with Miss Filter's song, Want It All. Contact Yin Radio at yinradio@vpfound.org. That's Y-I-N Radio at V as in voice, P as in power, found.org. And you can catch some past shows and sign up for podcasts at www.yinradio.org. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter to know what's coming up on Yin Radio at that location, www.yinradio.org. Anna Maria Roque produced and edited installment one, Zing, Your Life in Leadership. Tara Malmquist recorded installment number 3. Yin Radio is produced at KRFP in Moscow, Idaho by VP Foundation and by me. I'm Sandy Billings. Until next week.